Thank you so much. Let me bring greetings from Nairobi, Kenya, to all of you this morning. I'm excited and happy to be in your midst and to be able to share with us the Word of God. You know, the Bible says heavens and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will endure forever. And so it is a privilege to be able to share with you this Word that endures forever. Like Caroline has said, she and I and her sister and a number of people from the Sunshine Coast have been good friends of ours as we've engaged in supporting a small community in a slum area in Nairobi by providing children with education. And right now we have 395 children in our small school that are accessing elementary education. We have about 280 that are accessing high school. We have about 160 that are in different colleges, and we have a number that have actually graduated and are now serving and working in different fields. And it's just been a great joy for us to be part and parcel of what the Lord is doing in helping those in our communities that are underprivileged. And so for those of you who have partnered with us and participated with us, I just want to say a big thank you for all that you have done. Amen. So this morning, I just want to say, let me just introduce myself a little bit further. I'm married to a wonderful lady called Esther, and she is up there on the screen. Esther is a clinical psychologist, and so she has a ministry of helping people who have emotional, psychological needs, and that's what she does. That's her passion, both in the community that we serve, but even outside that community that we serve. We are blessed to have been married since 2010, and we just thank God for that gift of marriage. We bless the Lord. I'll now turn to the Word of God this morning that we would love to share together with us. And as I thought about sharing together with us this morning, and as I thought about worship, it was not lost to me that this is a Lent period of time, a time when we are getting into this week that was the Passion of Christ. And if you'd turn together with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 1 to 11, I believe you have your Bible somewhere, either on the phone or hardcover. I would love us to read together the scriptures, the Word of God this morning. And the Bible says, "As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to a town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. 'Go into the village over there,' he said. 'As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, "The Lord needs them," and he will immediately let you take them.' This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, 'Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey.' The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garment over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowds spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the tree and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and all the people around him were shouting, 'Praise God, the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in the highest heavens!'" May the Lord bless his word. So, as you look at the scripture that we have just read, and as you think about our Lord Jesus, just like I had said in the beginning, Jesus knows that his time has come, and he is about to go back to the Father. At this time, he demonstrates that he is King and he is Lord. And at this time, as he goes into Jerusalem, riding on that donkey, there is something extraordinary that happens with ordinary people. People like you and I, they recognize Jesus for who he is. And the Bible says some of them removed their garments and put them on the road. And others, they cut some tree branches and put on the road. And they began shouting and saying, Hosanna! They praised the Son of David. They praised Jesus for who he was, the Lord and the King. But another thing that we have just read also happened. The religious leaders were angry. They were not amused at all, because they wondered, who is this Jesus that every other person is bowing to worship? The crowds worshipped the king. They worshipped the prophet from Nazareth. I want us to look at a few lessons that we can learn from this scripture. And the first thing that I realize is appreciating the king if we were to worship him. Understanding our Messiah and our Lord. Knowing who he is so that we can worship him. We worship him if we know him. We worship him if he is our master. Because to different people, Jesus was different things. And at one point, Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say I am? And they answer. They say, some say you are a prophet. Some say you are the Son of David. Some say different things. But Jesus asks them another question. Who do you say I am? And Peter answers. And he says, you are the Messiah. You are the Lord. The disciples understood who Jesus was. And as a result of that understanding, they were able to join the rest of the people in worshiping the king. However, the Pharisees looked at Jesus differently. They thought he was a pretender to the throne. They thought he was just making things up. And they wondered, who are you? We are the religious leaders. We ought to be the ones that are giving direction. Who do you think you are? They did not appreciate his lordship. And brothers and sisters, this morning, I may as well ask you the same question. Who is Jesus to you? Is he your king? Is he your Lord? Is he your master? Is he the Son of God that takes away the sins of the world? Is he the one that has loved us with an everlasting love? Or who is Jesus to you? We cannot worship him unless we know who he is. We cannot bow before him unless we recognize him for who he is. And I want to invite us this morning to reflect on these passages and these words, and just to say, he is our Lord. We must appreciate the King if worship will flow in us. And as we do this, Jesus is going to minister to us in that place of worship. The Bible says from verse 14 that the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them, because they were among the crowds that knew who Jesus was. But the leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and had even the children in the temple shouting, praise for the God, the Son of David. But they were indignant. They asked Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus replied, yes, of course. Haven't you read the scriptures? For they say, you have taught the children and infants to give you praise. You know, I love children. The other day, I was with Carol in an elementary school in Gibson's. And the principal there was talking, introducing Carol, and she said, she's the principal of the other, you know, alternative school that is in that building. And the children did not care. They said, they mentioned the name of another principal. I said, that's the best principal. Because according to them, there is no pretense in children. Children don't make up things. They tell you what they have in their hearts. And Jesus says that, you have ordained praise in the lips of children and infants. They are there to Praise the Lord. But you know what? People got healing. That's my point. People received their blessings. It is possible that you came to church this Sunday morning carrying big burdens. And yes, this world has got many burdens. Burdens of children sometimes that don't toe the line that you think they should. Burdens of financial issues that you may be having. Burdens of the things of the flesh that you struggle with. Burdens of depression. There are many burdens that we carry. But when we come to the house of the Lord and we begin worshiping Him and we release ourselves to the Master and recognizing who He is, I tell you, we receive our healing. Our burdens are lifted. And I want you to make it a habit that when you come to church, it is a place where we can let our burdens rest in the Master's arms. And you know what? He will take care of them. The Bible says, cast your burdens unto Jesus, and He will care for you. We can cast our burdens to Him in worship and know that He cares and know that He loves us and know that He is our Lord. Worship is obedience. As you continue reading Matthew chapter 21, you realize that Jesus continues to push on in this week of passion by saying things that He could have not said over a long period of time. But knowing that He had little time on earth, He teaches them so many things. He tells the Pharisees, "What do you think about this? A man with two sons told an older boy, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' The son answered, 'No, I won't go.' But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the younger son, 'You go.' And he said, 'Yes, sir, I will.' But he didn't go. And Jesus says, 'Which of the two obeyed his father?' And they replied, 'The first.'" This time round, the Pharisees got it right. One son says, "I will do it," but doesn't do it. And I think sometimes we fall in that category. We say, "Jesus, we love you," but our actions speak the opposite. But another one says, "I won't do it." And I know sometimes you feel like that. You feel, "Lord, it is not easy for me to worship you. Lord, it is not easy for me to come before you." But you know what? We do it anyway. Worship is obedience. It involves an action. Praise the name of the Lord. They removed their garments, or they chopped off the trees. They did something to worship God. Something that they did in obedience. When you worship the Lord, is there anything that you do outwardly to worship Him? Or do you just say this is something that is in the heart? I was told of a story of a young man that was taking dinner with his parents. And the young man wanted salt. And he asked the father, "You know, pass me some salt." But the father did not hear. He was too busy in another conversation. And the son asked again and again. And to make sure that the father is attentive, he stood on the table and said, "I want salt." And the father said, "No, you're going to sit down." And the son said, "I won't, unless you give me salt." And the father said with that voice of, "Yeah, you are now ripe for discipline." He said, "You sit down." And the boy went back and sat down. And he told his father, "Well, physically I'm sitting, but in my heart I am standing." And there are times that we can tell God physically, "Yes, I'm worshiping, but my heart is disconnected. It is not with you. It is far away from you." This morning, my encouragement to us is that let our hearts of obedience come to the Father. even as the pastor talks about sending songs. Let that heart of obedience come. Let's go and access it. Let us worship him in those songs. And it is not a hard thing. You just need to put on the song as you drive to work, as you come in the morning, as you share, as you sing. Some of you who sing in the bathroom, it is okay. It is worship. It's a time to to give him praise. It's a time to go before him. Worship is about obeying our master, following him in his ways. I want to just fast forward and say that the week of the Passion ended on the cross of Calvary, when the Son of God was put on that cross. He hung there. He died. We do not have this time this morning to go through every little thing that Jesus said before that time of the cross. But you know what? The cross was the culmination of the love of God. At that cross of Calvary, when Jesus was hanged, he was saying, "I love you this much." You know, in this world, people will say, "I love you." But when they say, "I love you," they embrace you. That's how much they love you. But Jesus says, "I love you this much." On that cross of Calvary, when he died, when he took away our sins, when he took away our punishment, when he suffered on the cross, he was saying, "I love you." And he loves us. I want you to know, despite the situation that you're going through this morning, you may get to a point and think, "He's so far away from me. He doesn't love me." But I want you to know that Jesus loves you. We've gone through life, even as a family with my wife. And at times, things have not been easy. Things have been difficult. You know, preachers stand in front of the congregation and preach good things about God, and you sometimes think that they don't doubt. No, we doubt sometimes. We ask hard questions sometimes. Because you say, "If the Lord loves me, why is this happening?" And it is possible that you are going through the same thing. It's possible that you prayed about for someone that God will heal them, that God will have mercy on them, and they ended up passing on. It is possible that even though you have prayed for your son, he's still in depression. And you say, "Does he love me?" Just go back to that cross of Calvary and look at him there saying, "That the world may know my Father, I give up everything, every dignity." He died a shameful death, a death of a criminal. But in that, he was saying, "I love you." How can we repay such love? What did we do to deserve such love? The only thing that I can do, brothers and sisters, is to worship him. Is to appreciate that love. Is to say, "Thank you for what you have done on that cross of Calvary." Regardless of the situation today, that love is still there. He sits and he says, I love you. And so what is our response? Our response should be a heart of worship. Giving up everything for Jesus. I loved the song that we sang this morning that said, "Jesus, just I give you all my world. Whatever that is, that world, I give it to you." And I want us to invite us to just think about these things as I call the worship team to come and lead us in a song. I just want to invite you to think about Jesus. Think about his love for you on that cross of Calvary. Think about what he has done for you. And I still want to ask you the same questions that were being asked here. Who do you say he is? Is he Lord? Is he King? Or were you just brought to church? Is your heart connected to him? Who do you say he is? I don't know if you came to church with issues, problems, things that are affecting your relationship with the Master. In worship, there is healing. In worship, he meets our needs. And you can go to him silently and tell him, today, meet my needs. You can say, I'll obey you, Lord. Maybe it's possible that you have been rebellious, you've not walked in his ways. We can obey him.
So we're going to move into ministry time right now. And we're going to have our communion station here, and then I believe two prayer teams on the side, and then John Stone will be praying with a member from our prayer team in the middle. And if you're carrying something, like John Stone was saying, a burden, this is the place to come to have people pray for you. If you're sick, this is the place to come and have people pray for you. Our God loves us. Our God is alive. Our God is healing us today. And so, just like John Stone said, worship requires this action. It's this bowing of our knees and our heart. And so if God is inviting you, if you have that prompt, just invite you to make your way forward into ministry time. Just stand. Thank you. So, church, we're going to keep worshiping here for a while. We're going to keep ministering. The prayer teams are here to pray with you. And we didn't send people around with the offering. We're going to try something a little different today, just as an act of worship, which is what our offering is. We just invite you to place your offering in the basket. So I'm going to ask those who are taking up our offering to grab the baskets and just be at the doors there. Just place your offering as you move out. So we're just going to keep worshiping, we're going to keep singing, keep praying. And so I bless you, church. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I send you from here with the power of Jesus. I send you to go forth in mission and worship.